We matter.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, we're back from the 4th of July. We had a week off. It's nice to see everyone again. I had a wonderful 4th of July, and I know that everyone else did. Also, tonight, good news. As always, we have good news. Tonight's good news is there is nothing and there is no one to blame for anything. So you can consider yourself absolutely blameless. The only blame that occurs is the blame that your mind is making up, that little ego mind, that finite mind of yours, wants to place things outside of you, wants to separate you from your good, wants to separate you from other people, and wants to say that something else is causing whatever is happening in your life. Do not allow your mind to do that, people. You have to listen to your mind. You have to be able to tell what your mind is doing to you. And whenever blame comes up, we know right away it has to be some type of separation going on, which means there to be some other power going on in the universe. And there's only ever one power in the universe, and that's the power of God. And that power is in, as, and through you right here and right now. So if your mind is telling you that something, that you're going to blame somebody else for something in your life, give that up. It will get you nowhere. If you take full responsibility for everything that's in your life without any of the blame, you can correct it. If you blame somebody else for something that is outside of you, and anything outside of you, you cannot control, you cannot change. You can only change what is in you, inside of you. You can only change your thinking. And we have to constantly be changing our thinking about ourselves. We have to see ourselves differently. We have to hold ourselves in the highest of esteem. This weekend, over the 4th of July, my brother and sister-in-law were here. That was an absolute exercise in race mind. These people blame everything outside of themselves. And they're getting nowhere for it. They go to church every Sunday and they consider themselves good Christians. But they can't get over the idea that whatever is coming into their life, they are causing. And we have to realize that and be able to take responsibility for that and say, it's me doing this. I am the cause onto my own experience. It is my thinking that is causing everything in my life. Once you know that, you can change it. Your mind wants to tell you that it's something from your past. It wants to tell you that it's your parents. It wants to tell you that it's your boss. It wants to tell you that it's the world at large. It's the economy. It's this. It's that. It's the other thing. It is never any of those things. It is the way you're thinking about something that is causing everything in your life. And when you're able to change your thinking, what you're thinking about changes. So tonight I handed out some papers on forgiveness and gratitude. We have to always constantly be forgiving ourselves. If we do blame somebody outside, we catch ourselves doing that. And we stop blaming. We stop blaming ourselves. We stop blaming those people. And we certainly stop blaming God. We know that this power that we call God is everywhere present. And we use God all the time as a scapegoat for everything. Oh, it's God's will. Oh, God causes this, that, and the other thing. And we blame God for our illnesses. We blame God for anything in our life that is unsatisfactory. We say, well, God's causing this. If it was a good God or true God, we wouldn't have this, that, and the other thing. God is always consistent. God is always good. God is always giving. It is our mind that is not accepting that, is not seeing that. And here again, it always starts with us. It always starts inside of us. And it starts with the attitude that we have about ourselves. So we learn to hold ourselves in the highest of esteem. We learn to say to ourselves, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. And we certainly know that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. These are four items to have in your mind at all times, so that your mind will bring those items up instead of a blaming item or any other thing that your mind wants to tell you about yourself. Do not allow your mind to do that. If your mind says you're stupid, you're this, you're that, correct it immediately. And that voice that you hear is usually what we call a parent voice. And anytime you hear a parent voice, you're going to have criticism. Because that's what the parent voice does. It criticizes you. The parent voice never says you're a wonderful human being. It always says there's something wrong with you. And it always nitpicks everything about you. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Train your mind to see only good things. Years ago, I lived with an Italian family in Utica, New York. The Brindisis. And Mrs. Brindisi said to me, Dallas, there's always enough good in anyone to cover up the bad. So always look for the good. Always look for the good in people. It's so easy to constantly nitpick people and say, oh, that wasn't quite right. This wasn't quite right. When we do that, we just bring more of that on. We just keep bringing the same thing back and back and back and back. But when you know who you are, this does not occur anymore. If you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, you stop all the nitpicking. People who nitpick do that because they're covering up their own insecurities within themselves. And we can train ourselves not to do that. That is merely a habit. And any habit that you have, you can break. This power that is in you is strong enough to break any habit, is strong enough to break any addiction that you have. And we know that that's true because we have tons of 12-step programs all over. We have 12-step programs for almost anything that you want. So we use this power for good, and this power of God is always for good. So you must say, I'm part of that. Therefore, I'm always for good, and I'm always out looking for good. I'm always out looking for good in people. And then you start to see the good. And you start to see the good in yourself, and you start to like yourself, and then you start to love yourself and appreciate yourself. And your whole world changes. Your whole world changes. I said on Monday night to people, please don't go to your grave with your song still in you. Don't go to your grave thinking that you were less than, thinking that there was is something wrong with you, thinking that you're stupid in any way, thinking that you're untalented. Don't do that to yourself. You're here on this plane of action to totally learn and totally enjoy and start to love yourself. That's why we are here. But to live your whole life on this plane of action and go to your grave, which many people do, thinking that they weren't worthwhile, thinking that they didn't matter, they weren't lovable, deserving, and worthy. It's an awful way to go through life. An awful way to go through life. And if anyone is having any of those thoughts right here and right now, correct them. That is the power that we have. That is the wonderful gift that the Creator has given us. We are able to think for ourselves. And we are able to change our thinking. And we are able to see ourselves in a whole new and different way. And that's what it's all about. seeing your magnificence, seeing this thing that we call God. We sit here all the time and say, all I am is God, that I am not all that God is. So we have to start to see that magnificence, feel that magnificence, instead of thinking, oh, well, just a human being plodding through life. We are so much more than that. And we have to realize that. We have to bring that into our world. Come in, Thomas. We have the power, and it's the power of thinking, to change anything in our life. But we have to start with ourselves. And we have to know that that can be done. And that this thing that we call the universe, this thing that we call God, is for us at all times. Never holds anything against us. So why do we hold things against ourselves? God would never think that we were stupid, dumb, or any of those things. So why do we do that to ourselves? Because we have allowed other people to do that. But now you know better, and you can start to think for yourself. And any of those old thought patterns that come up, change them. Just change them. Why do we want to hold on to those? Why do we want to be convinced that those things are true? See, there's no sense having a God at all if you cannot live a full, joyous life, knowing that you are lovable, that you are worthy and deserving, and that you matter. If you don't know those things, why bother? Why even have a God? And we know that there's a God. We don't know what God is exactly, but we don't come to these classes and all unless somewhere along the line we felt something, that we know something, that we're connected to something. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So if you're here and you know that you're connected to this thing, then really get connected to it. Little Reverend Shelley over here has little plugs to plug into God. Stay plugged into God all the time. Plug yourself in. Know that you're plugged into God. Know that that is coming through you all the time. All the time. And that it's changing you. You see, that's the power. It's the power to change. You see? You should think of being plugged into God. But this current, this power, this energy is coursing through you. And as it courses through you, it is changing everything inside of you. And it is changing your thinking. Your thinking about yourself. It is renewing a right spirit within you. That's what it's all about. To get a right spirit inside of you. We have that. Each and every one of us has that. But we allow our mind and other people to talk us out of it. Don't allow your mind to do that. You must argue with your mind. And you must always win, remember? So make up your mind that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! Alright, I have several race mind things tonight, which I think are brilliant. On Monday night, Nathan brought this in. And if this just absolutely reeks of race mind, and this was in the newspaper. Alan Johnson, a native of Scotland, who reported from Gaza for the BBC for 3 years, was grabbed on a Gaza City street by masked gunmen March 12th, shoved into a car, and spirited away. He was the latest in a string of foreigners kidnapped in Gaza, and his time in captivity was by far the longest. Even before it happened, he said, he had often envisioned being kidnapped. It was a vaguely surreal experience, as if I'd lived it before, because I'd imagined it so many times. And there I was, before I knew it, on my back, in the back seat, with a hood over my head. Johnson said at a news conference at Britain's consulate in Jerusalem, where reporters greeted him with applause. What you fear most comes upon you. What you love most comes upon you. It's the law of attraction. And we know what we fear most comes upon us. But now you must know what you love most comes upon you. So with that idea that his imagination, and he envisioned that for so long, that he did that to his own self. So see, he cannot blame the kidnappers. He created that. He has to say, look how powerful I am. Of course, he's not going to do that. But he's very powerful. So remember that. And we have that in race mind all the time. People say, oh, what you fear most will come upon you. People absolutely believe that one. Now start to believe what you love most will come upon you. An absolute little thing. Whatever you vitally imagine, ardently desire, sincerely believe, and enthusiastically act upon will inevitably come to pass. That's the whole idea of manifest. That's the whole idea of a mental equivalent. You held that in mind. He held kidnapping in mind till it happened. So if you want something in your life, hold it in your mind. Think about it. Imagine and envision and ardently do it every day. And it will come to pass. It will come to pass. That's the secret. That's the law of attraction. That's this teaching. That's any metaphysical teaching. And it works every time because it's an immutable law, meaning it can never be changed. Works the same for everyone. Morning, noon, and night, it works. So do that. When you know that you have this tool, this power, then sit and envision what you want. And keep that vision. And sit in gratitude. Feel the feeling. And it will come to pass. It has to. That's a promise. That's a law. And it will work for you. The other race mind thing was Tuesday night. Early, I turned on the 6 o'clock news, I think. By mistake.
But, no mistake.
And it was so, amateur, I thought. I don't know what station it was. But here's what they said about terrorism. And is there going to be an attack this summer in the United States? They took a poll, people voted. Can you imagine? People voted. So here's the here is the conclusions. 45% said no. No wait. 45% said yes. 55% said no. Yes, but that's only a 5% difference. If it sways the other way, we will create that. We will create that. Now, those radio programs and stuff, I noticed that lately, Everyone wants to interact. The whole world anymore is going to be television. It's interacting.
Right.
News programs. We want to know what you think. Let's vote for this. Let's vote for that. Let's see what people are thinking out there. Well, if 45% of the people are thinking, yes, we're going to be attacked, we only need 5% more and it will happen. Very fragile balance. That is the, what we call race mind.
Yes.
Collective consciousness. And we're doing it to ourselves constantly. We are doing this to ourselves. Instead of constantly forgiving and constantly setting in gratitude, we are saying that we are going to be attacked again because we don't like these people. And I see more things across the internet now about the Islamic nation and all this stuff. And people are buying into this, and they're buying into this. Well, we create the world that we live in. We create every circumstance in this world. We do that with our thinking. And it's time that we change our thinking. And we believe things that are not true, that we heard at home, or that we heard in some institution. And they're all based on premises that are not true, that were given to us about 1700 years ago. And we based our whole culture on that. We based our governments on that. And the premise that we're working with is faulty. And no one knows that. But it's faulty. And it's time we see that, and it's time we change. But with this television and whatever else, they always want you to interact. Isn't that what it's called, interacting? Everyone, vote for this. It's just, that's one great big race mind going on just constantly. And it's not healthy. It's just not healthy. So, they were the race mind alerts. With the one about the Gaza Strip, that man, we can absolutely say what you fear most comes upon you. So learn to say, what I love most comes upon me. And look at what you love in life and not what you fear in life, so that you get what you want, you see. And it will work for you. But we just don't train ourselves to think in the other direction. And the nice thing about this whole thing is you can think anything you want. You can think anything you want. So when I say that you can think anything you want, think about yourself what you think about yourself. And if you can think anything you want, you can start to think nice things about yourself. You see? That's what it's all about. You have to do that. You have to think nice things about yourself. You say, geez, I'm a great guy. I'm marvelous. Do you have a question? Is that?
Well, I had a comment. I had an acting teacher who addressed what you were saying. She used to say, you need to love success more than you fear failure.
Yeah. I never liked that. That's complete race mind, because that's a catch 22, because if you don't succeed, they say you're afraid of success. And if you don't succeed, they say you're afraid of failure. So you're stuck there. So why don't we know that we are absolutely one with God, and God only knows success? God only knows success. There's no failure in the mind of God. There is no failure in the mind of God. There's only failure in our little finite mind, because people keep telling us, oh, that could fail, this could fail. There's no such thing as failure. No such thing as failure. So you have to keep reminding yourself of that. that I'm one with God, and there's no failure in the mind of God. Works every time. All right, tonight's topic is prosperity. Remember this basis call. Prosperity and abundance, including money. All right, here. We have to know that we live in a prosperous universe. And we have to give ourselves permission to receive that prosperity. And we have to know that it comes from every corner of the universe. And that it comes from everyone in the universe. So, today in the mail, these wonderful shoes arrived. That's prosperity and abundance. On Wednesday, let's start with Sunday. Sunday, I was invited to see Come Back, Little Sheba at the Kirk Douglas Theater. That was prosperity. Wednesday, I was taken to lunch at Pino's down in at the library. That's prosperity. Tomorrow, I've been invited to the Ivy. That's prosperity. So you have to open yourself to these. All of it is prosperity. You see, we always have prosperity around us. We always have abundance around us. And we always have money around us. But people are always going for the money. You can have prosperity and abundance and no money. Because money is just a side effect. Money is just a side effect. But prosperity and abundance is everywhere. And you must open yourself to that. Now, how do you think you're going to open yourself to abundance and prosperity?
Knowing you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and no matter.
Absolutely. Every time, and don't back off from it. When my brother and sister-in-law were here, I bought her something. So I couldn't take that. The next day I bought her something else. And, you're going to make me cry. I can't. Oh, this is too much. Next day I got her something else. Now, they weren't elaborate things, but I deliberately did that. I gave her something every day to break her habit, you see. To break that habit and her that she can receive. You see, we're not taught that we can receive. Because we grew up with that whole thing, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's a bunch of bull. That's a bunch of bunk. Don't do it. It's complete twaddle. Giving and receiving are one in the same thing. And you just, it just circles. So after they left and I gave them gifts every day, Sunday night I got a gift. Yesterday I got a gift. Today I got a gift. Tomorrow I'm getting a gift. The more you give, the more you receive. It just works that way. And I explained that to her. I said, oh, this will all come back to me. But people think if I give a necklace, then the necklace is going to come back to me. Heaven's sakes, no. I gave a necklace and a pair of shoes arrived. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. That's what you have to open yourself up to. How many people are here still going to the mailbox knowing that there's going to be checks in there? Yes. You have to always go to the mailbox knowing that there's checks in there. You see, you have to open yourself to this abundance and to this prosperity that's everywhere. That is absolutely everywhere around us. And when we know that, and when we know that we're worthy of receiving it, it just keeps coming to us. It just keeps coming to us. Because it's pouring down all the time. It's always pouring down. But we're saying, oh no, I can't do it. Oh, because we don't think we're worthy, deserving, lovable, or that we matter. And I could see this in my brother and in my sister-in-law. And I decided I could talk about them, even though she said, you're not going to talk about us after we go. I didn't say yes or no on that. So I'm allowed to. Because they won't listen to these tapes anyway. They would never listen to anything that I had to say. No, they wouldn't. When I was installed as a minister, my brother and my mother was alive there, came and my cousin came. And I said, Jack, well, what do you think about this? He said, well, I'll never believe it. He said, no way could you ever be a minister. Not but the way you talk and your lifestyle. And from then on, they never mentioned that. It's something. Because it's not in their world. It's not in their world, you see. They live in a completely different reality than I live in. And we can see each other on meet in those places, but only for a while, because as I said to my sister-in-law Patsy, finally she said, oh, that's right, I'm not supposed to say that. She cannot open her mouth without saying I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said, would you stop saying that? Drives me absolutely up a wall. Absolutely up a wall. Do not do that to yourself. You see? It shows right away that they don't think much of themselves. Even though they think they're God-fearing Christians. Now, that is the worst thing in race mind, I think, when you say, I'm a God-fearing Christian. Why do you want to fear God? That you have to behave yourself or God won't like you?
Yeah.
You see, if you take choice away from yourself, you might as well just throw the whole thing down the tubes. You have to choose to want to be good. Not because you do it, because you're afraid God will get you. God is not out to get you. God is out to give you. Always remember that. God wants to give, not get. So anytime you hear that, God-fearing Christian, run from those people. Because, yes, because they absolutely think that the wrath of God is going to come down upon them. And that they can't have fun, they can't have anything, they're always looking over their shoulder for what's going to happen. Oh, what's going to happen? Now, his sister-in-law said, which was complete race mind, well, if anything bad's ever going to happen, it's going to happen to me. I took him to Venice Beach. My brother kept asking, what's that stuff they're selling? That smells. I said, it's sage. He said, what do you do with it? I said, just smudge it. You use it. You can smudge, get rid of bad energy, get rid of bad spirits, get rid of all this. He just looks at me. I thought, as soon as they leave, I'm going to smudge my house.
Yeah.
I have to get rid of it. We had a wonderful time. Don't get me wrong. We had an absolutely wonderful time. But I could hear nothing but race mind coming from them constantly. They are so bought into that you know, they don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. Go ahead.
I had an experience this week where I had several. So one of them, I got in a car accident. Well, somebody hit me. I'm thinking, well, I wonder what that thought process was coming from. Because I hadn't thought about being hit, but I realized at the time I didn't freak out. And I just was like, I didn't have time to get in the car accident that particular day, but just snowballed. But then I had a client, and we went, I have a cleaning business as well as my real estate business, and we went to the lady's house, and we turned the water on in the bathtub, apparently, and the knob came off. So one of my girls called me and said, well, the knob came off, I can't shut the water off. I said, oh, is it leaking in the bathroom, or is it flooding the place? I mean, it makes a difference. So she said, no, it's just going down the drain. I said, okay, I'll be there and I'll turn the main off. So I called my client and I said, you know, we went to turn the water off, we couldn't get it off, and so I had to turn the main off, you're going to have to call a plumber. And she said, well, who's going to pay for this? I said, well, you are. She said, I am?
no, is this some? No, she says, is this something you're going to pay? Is this something you pay for? I said, no. She goes, well, you know, I don't have time to come home and talk to your phone. I said, well, do it on your own warranty because it's covered. She's only owned a home 3 or 4 months. And she said, I said, it's $35. She said, well, I'm busy. She's a doctor. I'm busy, and I don't have time to do that. I said, I'm busy, too. So I said, well, we'll discuss this later. So she calls me today, and she says, so I had a couple of plumbers out, and, you know, it was leaking. I said, yeah. She said, so it cost me $200, and apparently it's going to cost me another $100. So are you going to give me a free cleaning? I said, no. Here's the deal. I said, if I open your refrigerator, if one of my girls opens your refrigerator door, your oven door, and it falls off the hinges, do I now owe you a new refrigerator? Because where does it stop for you? Because here's the deal. You need to turn on the water to clean your sink. And we've never broken a faucet before in all the years I've had it. And at some point, I have to stop and go, you know what? Was she abusing it? What part was ours? I said, we didn't break your vase. The knob to your toe fell off. I said, so I don't know if the people before you abused it or you abused it. I said, but here's the deal. She goes, well, it was like an accident waiting to happen. I said, exactly. So does that mean is that your thought pattern? Does that mean I have to pay for your accidents that are waiting to happen? She's all, well, I said, so here's the deal. If you insist that I pay for it, I will pay for the $100. However, we won't be doing business because now I'm going to be worried that if we turn another faucet on or the door key breaks when I'm opening the door, I said, and you know what? I get to pick and choose who I work with, and you're lovely. However, we're not on the same page. I said, so she's like, I don't want you to quit because you guys do a really good job. I said, I don't necessarily want to quit. I said, but here's the deal. I give up. I'm not giving up my principles because, you know what? I feel this is something. I said, it's not that I don't have the $100 because I could pay you in a second. It's the matter that I don't think we did anything wrong, and they don't really wish to pay for it. So if we're on the same page and you're not going to have any animosity towards us, then we can probably work something out. But if you're going to be angry about this, then we got to stop doing business. But the thing that motivated me the most is this class and knowing that I have to stand on my truth and knowing that, okay, so she's a regular client and she supplies a few $100 a month, that there's somebody else and the money will come. And that's what released me the most. Because in the past, I know I would have paid for it and sucked it up. But it's this class that makes me stop and leave working this. Because otherwise, I would have just been in fear. Oh my gosh, it's a few $100 a month and... And I'm not going there anymore.
Once your consciousness is stretched, it will not shrink back. So the money that she was making from that client, if that client leaves, that money must stay. It must come from another channel. But we hold on to things because we think that that's the only channel that things are going to come through. Now, we say that God is absolutely abundant, that God is everywhere present, but then we start to make God small. I have said many times, if you're not getting what you want, it's because your God is too small. You must kick that God out and get a bigger, better God. That is what it's all about. Jules finally realized that she was worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that she mattered, and that the money would be there, and she didn't live in fear that it wouldn't be there, and holding on, she stood up for her principles and said, no, I am not going to do this. And she did a wonderful job of it. See, now I will make a statement. More money will come because of that. More clients will come. You wait and see because you've opened it. Did it come yet?
It'll come. Actually, it has. Somebody else.
See how you do. See how it works. Can you people see how it works? Really, this is the way it works.
The key is that I remember that I mattered.
Yes.
And then I wasn't trying to shove it down her throat that I was wrong. She was wrong, and I was right. Because that's not where it was.
No. No. And that's what we do.
Good job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, know that prosperity is around you all the time. And start tapping into it. Start asking for it. Start seeing it.
Dallas, when your brother and sister-in-law were here and they kept the Race Mind audio tape going, how did you fix that in your own head? Or did you do it at all?
Yes, I had to keep making adjustments all the time. Sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I got a little short with them. On one occasion, I've been having some difficulty with my heel here because my arch is going down. And I have arch support that I put in there, and I'm doing exercises to fix that. So one day I was limping a little, and my brother said, "What is that?" And I explained to him, and he said, "Well, if you do this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And I said, "Jack, I'm doing exercises." "Well, don't take my word for it. No one ever takes my word for anything. What do I know? I'm just a stupid person. Why would you listen to me? No one ever knows." I said, "Stop it. And stop it right now." I said, "I will not allow you to do that in my presence." I said, "That shows an absolute lack of self-confidence, and I don't want to hear it." That's how I handled that one. Many of them I left sit by because if people don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, there's nothing, you can't do it. But when it got to that point, I thought, "I'm not letting this pass. I'm not letting this go," you see. And I didn't.
Do you feel that cumulatively there may have been an incremental shift in their consciousness anyway?
No.
No?
There's not going to be. There's not going to be because they are so locked in to what they're thinking and in to their relationship that to move outside of that in the present moment would be very frightening to them because they think they have the whole thing figured out. Their relationship is in crisis and they do not know it. In complete crisis. They arrived with a bag of pills this big.
Yeah.
I mean, the bag was this big see-through. I could see, you know, it was a see-through bag this big with pills. Hmm. You know. And then the sister-in-law said to me, "Well, I have to take this happy pill." I said, "What is it?" She named it. Must have been tranquilizer. I have no idea. So I never heard of it. Now, I have nothing against pills and so forth. But they're not the end-all be-all. But these people have never looked inside of themselves. And they probably won't ever look inside of themselves. Now, here's the one that I said. Now, you remember when class, when I went home and I was in their church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had to read that thing that was printed. You saw the thing. "I'm absolutely unworthy," or whatever it said. "I'm unworthy to be here." I said, so I said to her, well, because she was asking me questions. I said, "Well, I could never belong to your church." I said, "I can't belong to a church where somebody stands up and says they're unworthy." She said, "We don't do that in our church." I said, "What?" She said, "No, we never do that in our church." I said, "Patsy, you most certainly do. I was there, and it's right printed in print." "No, it's not." You see, most people never hear what they're saying. Even though it's on the printed thing and they stand up and say that every week, they never hear it. But the subconscious mind hears it. And they have to know that they're unworthy if they constantly have to say, "I'm sorry." Or start a conversation by saying, "Well, you know, I don't know much. Or I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but here's..." And I felt like saying, "Well, if you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, then shut up. I don't want to hear it. I only want to hear from the sharp knives." You're saying, wouldn't you? "I only want to hear from that." Why do you want to hear from a dumb knife, you know, or a dull knife? You don't. But they start everything with that, you know. And I'm not putting these people down. What I'm trying to say is, they're replicated across this world. These people are replicated across the world. And that's why they think they're right, because there's so many of them. Because there's so many of them. And they're downright wrong. Downright wrong.
Well, when I was in Michigan,
you
can
throw it this time more than ever.
Oh, my God.
Because you know now.
And these are people that I've known, 45 years. But Gene is, love him. And I was really practicing unconditional love, which has definitely not been my forte. And he's very racist. And we went up to the Moose Friday night to celebrate my mother's life. And they were talking about how the Moose is not thriving anymore. Well, a hamburger's $2.50, and I'm thinking you could make it $3.50. But he said, I knew as soon as they let the blacks in. And the place was full, and I looked around, not one black person. So I thought, okay.
Did you say anything?
Well, I didn't. But then we got back to the house. And he said, I knew when the blacks were let in. And I went, wait a minute. Okay. I said, Gene, there was not one black person there tonight. And Inez goes, no, there wasn't. I said, and you're talking about the neighbor back here and the kids and the fence is coming down and blah, 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 they're black. I said, but let's go over here to people that were our neighbors for 40 years. I said, they were white and it was a sewage. I said, so if it's dirt, it's dirt. If it's trash, it's trash. What's the difference in color? And he actually kind of paused. And not that there will be a change, but, the whole thing of sometimes you let things go, and you hear, but then eventually you got to go, wait a minute, there were no black people. And I thought, and I don't know black people that would like to hang out with those white people anyway, at the Moose. And it was just, the whole time, and there's just so many more. But yeah, it's like an ongoing, you got to put your spiritual armor in place. And I was talking to Al, and he said that when he goes back to his hometown in New Jersey, it's like the life force gets sucked out. And then, the drinking, and I thought, wow, now I see how normal it was. Like, I can't believe I got picked up for drunk driving. I was only a mile from home. I used to think that. And it's so prevalent, to sit and just amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. So I'm going to do you one better. And I didn't. I left these go. I thought, I can't get into this. We're driving along, and a beautiful Mercedes goes by. And a black person's driving it.
Oh.
And my brother says, now where do you think that food got the money to buy something like that? Must be drugs.
Yep. I know.
They have it all figured out.
And they're from Pennsylvania, South.
They're from Pennsylvania, not the South.
Right.
Yes. But what do we hear around here? The Mexicans are going to take all the jobs. They're going to ruin this country.
Yeah.
They're taking our jobs. What jobs are they taking? Are you standing on the corner selling fruits or peanuts like they do all day long? Anyway, that's all race mind.
Yes. And blaming somebody else.
Always blaming somebody else. Always looking outside of yourself.
Out of fear of inadequacy.
Yes. You must always look at yourself. And then, don't blame yourself. Correct that. For goodness sakes, correct that. Correct your thinking about it. People do not realize, and I'll give you quickly some examples. Most of the people in the United States think that from Mexico down, it's all poverty. They have no idea in South America that there is absolute wealth in South America, that they have gorgeous cities in South America. The Buenos Aires is considered the Paris of South America. Most Americans know they're all living in shacks and practically in the jungle still. Outside of the United States, that's what most of the people think. Even if you go to high school, you don't study most of that stuff. So they have no idea what is going on. Now, with black people, no one realizes that for over 100 years there's been a black society in the United States. They have a cotillion the same way as white society.
Yep.
They bring their people out into society. They have all that money. There's many, many millionaires and so forth in the black community. No, they're all poor. Poor blacks. Everyone's poor in the black community. This is not true. None of this is true. But it's perpetuated, and it's perpetuated in small towns where they don't have any. I grew up in a small town where there were no blacks. In fact, in the whole county there was no blacks, and now they tell me that there's one black family in Perry County. And I imagine all Perry County thinks, oh, isn't that awful? A black person got in here.
Yeah, because there's black society books that people don't even know. There's a friend of mine's family in them.
Yes.
Her dad was the first black businessman of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, so
absolutely.
It's like,
yeah.
I mean, they're in society books, but they don't. Well, people think that.
And we have had black congressmen a way back that no one ever talks about. But we've had blacks in our Congress long before Obama and all those people. We've had all of that. But we push all that down. We push all that away because race mind says, oh, blacks are inferior. And we must raise the white race. But that usually comes from white people who do not know that they're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, or that they matter. So since they think they don't matter, they have to make somebody matter less to raise them up.
Wow.
That is the way it works. That's exactly the way it works. So look at that and don't do it. And once you're into this teaching, when you go back to those places, you can see it. It's prevalent. It's everywhere. When you're living in it, you don't see it. My brother and sister-in-law don't see it. Because everyone's saying the same thing as they. Everyone's talking that same talk. So they don't see any of that. And they think they're absolutely normal.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
It is normal for them.
To them, it is normal. But it's a completely different world. That's why, you know, we say, I'm glad I don't live in your universe.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to stay in that energy, too.
Oh, it's horrible. And it drains me. A week of it was enough.
Even in a real estate office, it's really hard to be around, you know, a lot of the energy about this person and that person. And I'm like, they're just doing what they do. Why do you care? Worry about yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Stay at home, with inside of yourself, and correct yourself, and let people do what they want to do. Let them do what they want to do. And they'll do it. But look, first, we're not blaming anybody anymore but ourselves. Can't blame our mothers, our fathers, our genes, or anything for what is going on. We have to blame our thinking for that, and we know that we can change our thinking. So change your thinking and see yourself and hold yourself to a higher standard. And you will be able to achieve that. And for abundance, prosperity, including money, you have to see prosperity everywhere. You have to see it everywhere, and you have to allow it to come to you. And never say, oh, I can't accept that. I said to Patsy Finey, I said, you must, when I give you this, you must say, thank you more, please. Well, she finally was able to say that, but the effort, I mean, how could, you know, yes. It's amazing. But she finally said it, yes. But she was in tears. Several times she was in tears.
Yeah.
Simply because she wasn't used to it. She can't get used to that, you see.
So, these people who are locked in race mind are so intractable that we can't influence them. How do we change race mind? Just by changing our own mind.
Yes. You change race mind by changing your own mind.
Yeah.
And by setting an example for people so that they want to see, oh, how do you stay positive? How do you stay? How do you get so that they, you have to live by example, not by talking to people. You see, I could talk to my brother and sister until the cows come home. They're not going to change, but they're going to see something, and they're going to take back to Pennsylvania something that they learned out here. You see.
So in 1930s Germany, the example would be to leave the country or be a martyr. Is that correct?
Well, you could be a martyr and leave the country. If you're talking about a martyr because they all march the ovens, that's a completely different story.
Well, I'm talking about people that hid the Jews or helped them out.
Yes.
They were persecuted themselves and became martyrs also.
Yes.
And, you know, they were trying to set an example to be a good person and to help your fellow man. I don't know how we won that one.
No.
But the bottom line, I think, in this teaching, it doesn't matter if you know about this teaching or you're a hardcore Christian or whatever your belief system is everybody in the universe wants to be seen. So by you giving your sister-in-law gifts, and even though she can't, having a hard time receiving it, it's because maybe for the first time in a long time she was seen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't matter what you believe in. If you see your people, the people around you, regardless of what their belief systems, if they're negative, positive, whatever, if you see them and say, good morning, Maria,
right.
How's your day? People forget that basic, it doesn't matter what plane you're on,
right.
That basic foundation of being seen in the world as somebody that matters, you can do that for somebody and you don't even know that you touched their life. And Reba had that experience while she was in... back. And that's the ball. It doesn't matter if they're hardcore Christians or, you know, it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't. And the thing with my sister-in-law, when she cried that day, was because finally something seeped into her consciousness and said, oh, well, maybe I do matter.
And that's the shift I'm talking about.
And that's the little shift that you get now. Can she maintain that and hold on to it because now she's going back there, where she'll be safe again, you see, and she won't have to even think about that. It will just go on. But usually people like that hold, that crying and stuff starts because a crack happened, a little shift happened in their consciousness. But the main thing, like with Germany or any of the things that are going on in the world today, we have to respect everybody. And we have to respect human life and that everybody matters and that we're all one. And what we see is, I'm white, you're black, you're yellow, you're Arab, you're this, you're that. And we cause separation. And it's always separation that gets us into trouble. We have to respect human life and we have to respect everybody, regardless if they're thinking like us or not, they are God. There is no way you can get around that. There is no way that you can get around that, you see. And that's what people don't do. And people don't see people. And there's a wonderful story, and I'll see if I can paraphrase it quickly, and I don't know how, where this came about. If it was doctors or people of importance wanted to be really important and so forth. And the question that the professor asked them was, what is the name of the janitor?
Yeah.
They didn't know.
Right.
If you don't know the people that are around you and you ignore the janitor and so forth, you're ignoring everything. You're saying, oh yes, I know this person high up, but you have to know everybody. We have to know everyone and treat everyone, you see. And how many people say, oh, they're just the maid, that's just this, that's, you know. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. So that we hold everyone in the highest esteem. And I hold my brother and sister-in-law in the highest of esteem. And I pray that their consciousness will open one day. But if it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I will still love them. And I will love them for where they are at the present moment. It's not where I want to be. But I will allow them to do it. Because that's their life. You see. So you have to respect that part of it. And then you get away from it. You're not going to move back to Indiana, and I'm certainly not going to move back to Pennsylvania, because race mind there will do you in. I mean, and did it not become comical? Sometimes you have to almost laugh, don't you? You think you're living with Archie Bunker.
Yeah, yeah. I spend a lot of time walking. Absolutely.
Yes, yes. You do.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to Pennsylvania for it either. I'm working on Hollywood Boulevard.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So hold everyone in the highest esteem, and hold yourself always in the highest of esteem. Always in the highest of esteem. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.